Thank you, Linda. If anyone else wants to share beautiful music that sets the tone for our worship over the summer, Linda would be glad to hear from you if you'd like to volunteer. I also want to thank Lucy for filling many roles this morning in worship while Amanda is away at camp. You may notice we're going to have several of our elders helping out at the table this summer. While Amanda and I are away for various camps and conferences this summer, the beauty of Disciples of Christ is that we believe the table belongs to all of us, and that includes leading at the table. It doesn't have to be a minister. So we're grateful for the many gifts of leadership and service that we have among us at St. Paul's. Our scripture for today is a short one, but it is a pretty meaningful and dense one. There's a lot that Jesus says in just a few sentences. This comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verses 12 to 15, and it's part of his parting words that he leaves with the disciples during the Last Supper. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own, but he will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. So imagine for a minute that all of the world's Christians of all kinds were able to come together, just imagine, and they decide that it's time for us to add some books to the Bible. I mean, after all, the world has changed a lot since those early church leaders chose which histories and stories and psalms and letters were most essential for people trying to understand and to follow God. Just forget for a minute about the challenges involved in getting all of our different denominations to actually agree. And instead, just think about what texts you think would be most helpful for Christians today, facing situations that first century disciples and apostles could never have anticipated. What are the modern writings and speeches that you think make Jesus' teachings and truth relevant for us in the 21st century? Some that spring to my mind would be poetry of Wendell Berry and Maya Angelou, speeches by Dr. Martin Luther King and Nelson Mandela, writings or life stories of people like Mother Teresa and Oscar Romero and Desmond Tutu. And with modern technology, we wouldn't be limited to just the written word. We could think of music or movies or videos that help draw us closer to God. In 902, someone suggested that Amazing Grace might be one of the few things that all Christians could agree we might want to add. God has never stopped speaking to us, to God's people, and yet we still today turn to a book of writings that were composed, some as many as 3,500 years ago, that contain all kinds of different oral traditions. And we try to apply what they say to our lives today. The good news that Jesus gives us in today's text is that God's word is still relevant and fresh for us and for people of every generation if we let the Spirit guide us in hearing it anew for our time and our context. These ancient stories of Jesus and Paul and the Israelites form the foundation of our faith just as they have shaped the lives and the faith of Christians for centuries before us. And so all those powerful modern poems and songs and stories that enrich our faith, the Spirit works through them to show us the truth of what God has already proclaimed. Their power to inspire our faith is in their consistency with the truth that has already been revealed to us in Christ. When we hear something new and powerful that resonates with our core values and our calling, I think it resonates because it reveals to us the eternal truth of God's love in a way that helps us see it on a whole new level, for a whole new context. For example, King David and the writers of the Psalms couldn't have imagined things like global warming or coal ash spills or stem cell research and all the scientific advances and understanding we have of the modern environment. But their words that call attention to the beauty of God's creation are echoed for me in more modern poems and psalms that notice the awe-inspiring details of nature in the same way that the psalms do. So for me, a modern psalm is one like a poem by Mary Oliver called The Summer Day. It says, "Who made the world? Who made the swan and the black bear? Who made the grasshopper? This grasshopper, I mean. The one who has flung herself out of the grass. The one who is eating sugar out of my hand. Who is moving her jaws back and forth instead of up and down, who is gazing around with her enormous and complicated eyes. Now she lifts her pale forearms and thoroughly washes her face. Now she snaps her wings open and floats away." I don't know exactly what a prayer is. I do know how to pay attention. How to fall down into the grass, how to kneel down in the grass, and how to be idle and blessed. How to stroll through the fields, which is what I have been doing all day. Tell me, what else should I have done? Doesn't everything die at last and too soon? Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? So even though we may have read the Psalms many times and been inspired about the majesty of God's creation, like Psalm 8 that Lucy read for us earlier, reading new poems that ask us afresh how we respond, how we pray in light of God's beauty can help us to hear God's calling in a fresh and new way. So our challenge and our opportunity that Jesus gives us in John 16 is to discern how the Spirit is speaking to us today and offering us the timeless truth of Jesus' teachings in new ways that call us out to live the gospel in our own time and our own place. And this is not a task that we have to tackle on our own as individuals, but as a community of faith. Just like Jesus first shared these words with the disciples so that they would have some inspiration to carry on his ministry after his death. And just like John shared these same words in his writings for the early Christian community that was trying to figure out how to be the church of Jesus as the first generations of disciples and apostles left them. This has been an ongoing task for the church throughout all generations. How to apply the unchanging message and example of Christ to always changing circumstances. This is a task that is essential for us, St. Paul's Christian Church, as we begin the 60th year as a congregation. Who is Christ calling us to be? How is Christ calling us to be witnesses of his teachings for the next generation? And so in the coming year, I hope that we as a church will engage in a process of visioning through prayer and study and conversations with each other And of course, through seeking the guidance of the Spirit, who speaks the truth to us in words both ancient and new. I'd like to invite us as a congregation to a Spirit-led time of discernment and dreaming, in which we can come to a consensus as a community on who God is calling us to be, and how God is calling us to focus our energy and our gifts to meet the needs that we see around us. Presbyterian minister Reverend Dr. Eugene Bay wrote that the purpose of this text, John 16, is to encourage within the community an openness to fresh encounters with the revelation of Jesus. John intends here to shape a community that is receptive to Spirit-guided growth. The Spirit is here to guide us if we can figure out how to hear her speaking to us. And so in practical terms, how do we as a church listen for the Spirit? How can we foster habits and practices that make us receptive to Spirit-guided growth? I think there are a few hints that Jesus gives us in his message. First, we can develop a habit of listening. In our prayers, in our worship together, in our conversations, we have a tendency to focus a lot more on talking than on listening. Much of our praying is spent telling God what we want and what we need instead of making some space to receive a word from God. Much of our worship is filled with our words, and especially my words, some Sundays like today, and with thinking about what we are going to say or to sing or to do next in the service, or maybe after the service, instead of really being fully present and making space for the Spirit to show up in our midst. Even in many of our interactions with each other, we're so busy planning how we're going to respond that we only half listen to what the other person is saying. I confess that this is too often how I approach my prayers and worship and relationships. And so maybe we can intentionally make more space for listening. Second, to hear the Spirit speaking to us, I think John would point us back to the scriptures that have been given to us and tested by previous generations of the church, to contemplate what they have to say to us today. We can spend some time reading from the Bible, but with an openness to hearing its message anew, trying to let go of some of the expectations that we bring to it. So instead of turning to our favorite passage with our minds already made up about what it's going to say to us, what if we try to read it like it's for the first time? Forgetting about what our Sunday school teacher may have said, or even our preacher, and questioning whether the preconceived ideas you bring to it are all it has to give us today. What fresh meaning might the scriptures offer us if we read it in light of the current immigration debates, the latest attack on a synagogue or a mosque, on our sister's cancer diagnosis, or on our experience volunteering with the Interfaith Food Shuttle? Theologian Karl Barth advised young ministers to preach with the Bible in one hand and the newspaper in the other. And even though newspapers are outdated to many people these days, I still think his point is relevant for all of us, that God speaks to the most current events and needs in our world. But only if we can discern the eternal wisdom of the gospel and separate it from the cultural norms that are woven into the stories from the times when they were written, and from the centuries of interpretation that we built into them. So as an example, take the role of women in the Bible. There's a lot in there that some of us would probably like to throw out about stories about women who were subordinates, who were viewed as property, or whose value was only connected to their ability to bear children. But even in these texts, I think With the Spirit's help, we can find truths that help us for today. If we look at the story of Sarah and Abraham, and Sarah's despair over her barrenness, or if we look at Corinthians and Paul's instructions to women to stay silent in the church, Abraham and Paul couldn't have conceived of a time when women would run churches and corporations, not because women's leadership was against God's will, but because their imaginations were limited by the world in which they lived. They couldn't handle anything more at the time. But when we read these scriptures in our context, we can see the eternal truths. In Sarah's story, we are reminded that anything is possible with God. That God walks with us in those times when we have given up on our dreams, and God never gives up on us. If we look at Paul's writings in Corinthians, we can see that his point was we shouldn't do things in the church that distract each other from worshiping and understanding God, which may look very different for us today, maybe more our cell phones than the voices of female leaders. Jesus knew we would need the Spirit to give us ongoing guidance for understanding God's message that transcends the way a particular group of people understands gender or sexuality or slavery or even what's acceptable to eat or to wear. And so over the next few months, as we start to discern a format for envisioning the church's future, I hope we can prepare by fostering practices that help make us receptive to the Spirit through intentional listening and reading and paying attention to God and to each other and to the world in which we live. May we ask ourselves as we worship and pray and engage with our neighbors, what is it we plan to do with this, our one wild and precious church that has been entrusted to us by God? Jesus calls us to never stop listening for God's word to speak a fresh and new message into our lives. Jesus always has something to say to the situation that we're in, even though his love remains unchanging forever. Though we live in a world that's a lot different from that of biblical times, the Bible has much to offer us as we navigate our challenges and opportunities today. God's teachings never get old, as long as we let the Spirit guide us. So if you would like to seek the Spirit along with us here at St. Paul's, I'd be happy to talk with you anytime about becoming a member or getting baptized, or if you're ready to join the church today, we invite you to come forward as we stand together and sing our hymn of invitation, number 586.